Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Marijuana Distribution and Deportation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 23, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Moncrief v. Holder. The question in the case was whether conviction under state law encompasses, but is not limited to, distributing marijuana without remuneration constitutes an aggravated felony for purposes of deportation under the Immigration and Nationality Act. In an opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held by a vote of 7-2 that if a non-citizen's conviction for a marijuana distribution offense fails to establish that the offense either involved remuneration or more than a small amount of marijuana, the conviction does constitute an aggravated felony for purposes of the Immigration and Nationality Act. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan joined the majority opinion. Justices Thomas and Alito filed dissenting opinions. To discuss the case, we have Scott Broyles, who is an assistant professor at Charlotte School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Broyles.
Hi. We've come together today to talk about a recent Supreme Court decision, Moncrief versus Holder. And this is rather complex case. In particular, there's some very complex considerations of statutory interpretation, particularly with respect to reconciling state and federal drug laws. There are also some deportation issues involved in this case as well. Specifically, the Federal Controlled Substances Act and a state of Georgia conviction for drug trafficking had to be reconciled by the court in this case. Again, it's a bit complex, but I think we can work through it. The petitioner in this case, Adrian Moncrief, was hoping his state conviction would be treated as a misdemeanor under federal law so that he and his family could remain in the United States. Adrian Moncrief entered the United States legally as a permanent resident in 1984 from Jamaica when he was 3 years old. He achieved permanent legal status but was arrested in Georgia at the age of 27, when he was stopped in his car and found to be in possession of 1.3 grams of marijuana, enough for approximately 2 marijuana cigarettes. After his arrest, Moncrief pled guilty to possession of marijuana with intent to distribute. Even though it was only a rather small amount, 1.3 grams of marijuana, nevertheless, he went ahead and pled guilty to possession with intent to distribute, sentenced to 5 years probation, all under the laws of Georgia. As a result of his guilty plea, the Department of Homeland Security charged Moncrief with being removable under a federal law based on the department's belief that Moncrief's conviction constituted an aggravated felony because possession of marijuana with intent to distribute is a Federal Controlled Substances Act offense punishable by up to 5 years imprisonment. In other words, a felony. At Moncrief's immigration hearing, the immigration judge ruled that the state conviction was analogous to a federal felony under the federal law, Controlled Substances Act, and that Moncrief was thus removable as an aggregated felon. Moncrief appealed the ruling to the Board of Immigration Appeals, arguing that the Georgia crime should not be considered an aggravated felony because it was such a small amount of marijuana and because he had not sold it for any money. Under one section of the Controlled Substances Act, the federal act, Moncrief pointed out, distribution of a small amount of marijuana for no remuneration, for no cash, is only a misdemeanor. Neither the Georgia indictment nor the Georgia judgment indicated how much marijuana Moncrief possessed. Moncrief argued that because the government did not prove that there was remuneration or more than a small amount of marijuana involved, his conviction should be considered a federal misdemeanor. The Board of Immigration Appeals did not agree with Moncrief and ruled that a state conviction for possessing an indeterminate amount of marijuana with intent to distribute is considered an aggravated felony under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Moncrief then appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, but the Fifth Circuit upheld the immigration court's rulings and ruled in favor of Moncrief's deportation. The Fifth Circuit looked to federal law holding that an alien who is convicted of an aggravated felony is removable, that drug trafficking crimes are considered aggravating felonies, and that drug trafficking crimes included any felony published under the Controlled Substances Act, even if the offense is a misdemeanor under state law. In other words, the federal law definition controlled. The Fifth Circuit used what is referred to as a categorical approach. That's quote-unquote categorical approach to determine whether a state conviction qualifies as a felony under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. According to this categorical approach, the court considers whether the elements of the state statute are analogous to a federal felony instead of looking at the underlying facts of the crime. Again, according to this categorical approach, the court looks at whether the elements of the state statute or the state conviction are analogous to a federal felony, and they do not look at the underlying facts of the crime. Moreover, the Fifth Circuit limited the government to presenting evidence in such cases to the charging document in the plea agreement, the transcript of the plea colloquy, and any explicit factual finding by the trial judges to which the defendant assented. Unfortunately for Moncrief, he did not offer any proof of the allegedly small amount of marijuana involved in his crime in a timely fashion. He didn't get the facts into the record. Ordinarily, convictions for possession with intent to distribute are felonies under the Controlled Substances Act, the federal act. But a subsection of the Controlled Substances Act, the subsection relied upon by Moncrief, provides for misdemeanor treatment, not felony, but misdemeanor treatment, for distribution of small amounts of marijuana with no monetary remuneration. When a state criminal statute like the one in Georgia covers both the felony and misdemeanor conduct prescribed by the Federal Controlled Substances Act, the Court of Appeals were split on whether a conviction which lacks the specifics of the underlying criminal conduct should be treated as a felony or a misdemeanor. So the Federal Circuit Courts were split on this issue. Applying the element-based categorical approach, however, the Fifth Circuit had ruled that the proper sentencing range for marijuana distribution offense, marijuana trafficking, is the Controlled Substances Act's felony provision, rather than the Controlled Substances Act's fact-based misdemeanor provision we just discussed. Based on this reading of the Controlled Substances Act, Moncrief was denied his petition for review, and of course he appealed that. Now, there are two intents behind the Controlled Substances Act in terms of what Congress hoped to see happen. On the one hand, Congress wanted to tighten up the rules for mandatory deportation for certain crimes, such as drug trafficking. On the other hand, Congress wanted to show more leniency depending on the actual seriousness of the crime involved. And this is particularly the case in the drug trafficking crimes where the penalties are quite harsh, so the court is leaning towards leniency in these areas. In a 7-2 decision authored by Justice Sotomayor, the Supreme Court applied the categorical approach and held that this approach requires that the state drug conviction must necessarily prescribe conduct that is an offense under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. This is a little tricky. Let me repeat. The Supreme Court then used the categorical approach used by the Fifth Circuit and other lower courts, but it said that this approach requires that the state drug conviction must, quote-unquote, necessarily prescribe conduct that is an offense under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Of course, the word necessarily is the key here. Because the Georgia conviction lacked any factual basis revealing whether Moncrief's drug trafficking involved either remuneration or more than a small amount of marijuana, it could have satisfied either the Controlled Substances Act felony provision or the CSA's fact-based misdemeanor provision. Again, the misdemeanor provision where it's not for money and it's a very small amount of drugs. Because the state's conviction could satisfy either of the federal law's provisions, it did not necessarily involve facts that satisfied the Controlled Substances Act felony provision. That seems to be the key to the court's decision. Again, the facts had not been forthcoming in the state of Georgia conviction. They were not in the record. As a result, the conviction Moncrief had received at the Georgia level could either satisfy the felony provision on the one hand or could satisfy the misdemeanor provision on the other hand, either one. And therefore, it did not necessarily satisfy or involve facts of the felony provision. So it all, again, turns on that one word of necessarily. What's the fallout of the case? While this decision appears to help Moncrief and other non-citizens seeking to avoid deportation, or perhaps a broader range of individuals who face federal charges after state convictions. It will only help such individuals like Moncrief if he convinces the lower court that, all things considered, he should be allowed to stay in the country. In other words, it only gives Moncrief another bite at the apple. Thus, while Congress may have wanted to both tighten up the rules for mandatory deportation for certain crimes like drug trafficking, as well as show more leniency depending on the actual seriousness of the crime involved, it may have accomplished only the leniency goal as a result of this decision by the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.